Well, in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, you probably have guessed what verse we're turning to. The news this week has been dominated with the horrific events over in the Caribbean. And we have here in verse 51 of Matthew 27, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain," that's in two, "from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." Let us look to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, we pray as we turn to thy word that thou would help us to look at these various great truths of thy word. Lord, that they would be embedded in our minds. And Lord, when all around us would give way, Lord, that we would be safely standing on the rock of Scripture, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of ages. Do bless our thoughts this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, the news events this week have centered on the horrific destruction and mounting death toll in that poorest Caribbean, or as Americans say, Caribbean island. Well, half the island, the other part's Dominican Republic, but the part known as Haiti. An earthquake measuring 7 on what's known as the Richter scale. He was a scientist who developed measurements for measuring the intensity of the earthquakes. Measured 7. And the death toll and the suffering is unimaginable. You've probably watched television footage from the capital, Port-au-Prince, seen the palace absolutely devastated, seen buildings, just the walls standing, some of them completely destroyed, scenes of utter horror as people crying in the street, walking about dazed amid rubble. And of course, we live in a day when tragedies are broadcast worldwide. And in the recent decades, there's the facility now through instant reporting that tragedies are brought before our minds, and we all must become numb when we see such happenings, and when we see them, we're shocked, we're stunned, we're silenced. Silenced before such devastation, such destruction, such awful distress. What can one say about such terrible happenings? Sadly, over in America, a man called Pat Robertson, a very famous TV evangelist on the 700 Club, has said this. He has said that it's a judgment upon the country because back in the 1700s, when the slaves of that area who had been brought there from Africa wanted to revolt against their French Roman Catholic overlords, that they made a pact with the devil. And the devil enabled them to chase the French out of the country. And this is God's judgment upon them. Of course, some people would query, some historians would query that story of making a pact with the devil. But he's come under intense criticism for his comments. It's been great news in America. Main article in what's known as the Newsweek, one of the leading news magazines of the world. An evangelical saying God's judgment upon this country. Well, you have to stop and think about the explanation for earthquakes. The explanation. Well, seismologists, that's the name for the scientists who study it. You see, when we read in the Bible here about the earthquaking, that's the Greek word seismos. And so somebody who studies earthquakes is a seismologist. And they would come and they would tell you how the earth's crust, some places down to 40 miles deep inside the earth, it's molten. And sometimes that crust moves. I'll not go into all the technical things about it, but I don't understand all of it. But you've probably read about it. The earth sometimes moves along fault lines, and there can be sudden jolts. Dr. Charles Richter, who invented that or devised that scale for measuring the ferocity or intensity, he's only dead a few decades. He said a very interesting thing. There is no place on earth safe from earthquakes. There's no place on earth safe from earthquakes.
just told you, there's one in Donegal and one in Scotland this month. Very small intensity, but they are classed officially by the scientists as earthquakes have happened even in Ireland this week. Not very powerful ones, of course. Not very powerful. But you see, already this month, on January the 15th, there was one of 5.6 magnitude. Just off Northern California, there was one of 6.5 magnitude, and then the one that hit Haiti was 7 magnitude. Do you remember a few years ago, 2004, the tsunami? That earthquake under the ocean was far, far more powerful than the earthquake hit the Caribbean. Far, far greater in intensity and strength. But you see, it didn't do, well, many were killed, but it didn't tear down the buildings right there because it was under the sea. You see, a lot of the devastation depends on the intensity. It depends on where the centre of the earthquake is, and it was the centre of the earthquake that hit Haiti. And it also depends, as I've said, on how the houses are built and how preparation is made for these things. It's amazing when you read history. Do you know in the 1940s in China, there were 500,000 people estimated died? Way back years ago in China, they estimated in one earthquake there were 830,000 people were killed. 1976, there were 250,000 killed in one earthquake in China. They say that last century, there were some estimates are from 1 to 2 million people died in the 20th century through earthquakes. What devastation. The numbers, they baffle your mind. You see, an earthquake, it sends forth just incomprehensible power. You know, a major earthquake is 100,000 times as powerful as the atomic bomb dropped in Hiroshima in Japan. I didn't say a few more times powerful, 100,000 times more powerful. The power. And yet we know as believers that God is over all things, that God rules this universe, that God is all powerful and is all authority. And of course the question comes up then, well, if every molecule obeys his command, why? Why? Why Haiti? Why? Well, I want to look at a bit of that tonight. Supernatural lessons from natural disasters. Supernatural lessons from natural disasters. All I'll say is, we stand humbly on the verse in Deuteronomy 29, the secret things belong unto God. But I want to look this morning, as I think of earthquakes, about the illustration in the Bible from earthquakes. The illustration. We could talk about the explanation. We could talk about the compassion we ought to have. But I want you to think of the illustration from Scripture. Earthquakes are mentioned often in the Word of God. I can only quote these verses for time. Psalm 62:11, God has spoken once, yea, twice have I heard this. Power belongeth unto God, and an earthquake is powerful. And when men in the Bible experienced earthquakes, it reminded them of the power of God. Job, you remember he went through awful trials in his life. You could say that emotionally, he had awful earthquakes when 10 of his children were killed at a stroke, where he was made bankrupt in just a few moments, when he was covered from head to toe with illness. You talk about an earthquake, metaphorically, figuratively speaking, coming into a family. Coming to a man, and of course, thinking of tonight, Job was the most perfect, righteous man on earth. It was his friend said to him, Job, you must be a terrible sinner for all these terrible things to happen to you. Of course, that was not true. Job was loved by God. But the point is this, Job, when he was thinking over all the trials, you know what it says in the book of Job 9 and 6? Meditating on God's power, he said, God, who shaketh the earth out of her place. He said, God is the one who shakes this earth. And in the Bible, when you read about earthquakes, they're often a symbol, a reminder of God's power and also of God's judgment. Listen to this verse, Psalm 18:7. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. He was angry. So earthquakes in the Bible were often used when a person experienced them and thought about them to remind them God is all powerful. We're just frail creatures. Because who can stand against an earthquake? If you've ever experienced an earthquake, as I said, we experienced quite a few in New Guinea, but we were safe now, perfectly safe. Although I did go out of the house one day just in case. But we weren't in any brick buildings, concrete buildings that could collapse. But you feel so helpless. Helpless when the ground begins to shake and the trees around you begin to shake. Tall trees, just like grain in a field with the wind. Tell you, you realize how insignificant you are, how frail you are. And you know what's interesting about the study of earthquakes in the Bible? If you go through and get an accordance and look up earthquake or look up shaking, there are earthquakes mentioned at important events spiritually. In other words, when God was teaching an important spiritual truth, he often accompanied that spiritual event by an earthquake. It's as if the physical earthquake and the physical shaking of the earth was God saying amen. The earthquake was, one commentator put it this way, God's exclamation mark. God's exclamation mark to say to humanity, stop, look, listen, pay attention, behold, there's something important happening here. You need to think about it. So I want to simply this morning, just very simply, look at a few places in Scripture where earthquakes were sent, no doubt about it, by God. At important spiritual junctures in this world's history. Spiritual truths, God's exclamation mark. Now, the land of Israel, where of course the Bible centered, where our Savior came, it's very close to what's known as the African Rift Zone. In other words, if you look at a map, and you can get them easily on the internet, there are various parts of the world that are more prone to earthquakes. As I said, Dr. Richter said there's no place in the world safe from them. Maybe you go on your holidays to Portugal. Do you not know that in the Middle Ages there were 70,000 people died in Lisbon, Portugal? Do you know in Portugal in the Middle Ages the whole city was wiped out and devastated? Maybe I'll put you off going to Spain and Portugal now. It can happen anywhere. But there are parts of the world that are more prone to them. And Israel is beside a part, a fault line, if you like, where there are more earthquakes. Again, for time, I can't turn. Amos 1, verse 1. You remember the prophet, Amos? Do you know how he starts this book? He introduces himself. This is what he says. The words of Amos, the vision which he saw 2 years before the earthquake. See how he introduces himself. God told me these things 2 years before the earthquake. In other words, there was a large earthquake. Some commentators say, scientists can date it and so on, 700 and something BC, say it was round about 8, higher than the earthquake took place in Haiti. That's what some of the experts say. But all I'm saying is Amos, when he wanted to tell the people when God spoke to him, he said, oh, you know how you think back years ago to some event? Amos writes, God spoke to me. I'll tell you when it was. It was 2 years before the earthquake. So it must have been some earthquake when people still remembered it years afterwards. So there's an earthquake in Israel. Do you know there's an earthquake in the 1500s in Israel that said destroyed many of the churches in Jerusalem? Do you know there's an earthquake in Jerusalem at the time of King Herod? Remember, he was alive when Christ was born. The scientists estimate it killed 10,000 people in Israel, land where our Savior walked. In 1927, there was a great earthquake that hit Jerusalem and people were killed. So Israel was a land of earthquakes. Well, turn to Psalm 68, verse 8, and just have to look at these references very quickly. Now, the psalmist here is thinking back. In Psalm 68, verse 8, he's thinking back hundreds of years before when God brought Israel out of Egypt. I'm not turning to Exodus 19 and 20. You can turn to it later. It talks about the earthquaking. But I thought of this verse because it brings it out. This is hundreds of years later. But the psalmist remembers the history of the people. And in verse 8 of Psalm 68, he's thinking to what God did in Sinai. And he says this. Psalm 68, verse 8. The earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. The first major earthquake in the Bible that teaches a spiritual truth is this. The earthquake of Revelation. You see, Israel were brought out of Egypt. God wanted to reveal himself to the people. And what did he do? He had them camp around the Sinai Mountain, the holy mount of God. You remember only Moses went up to the very top to meet with God, receive the Ten Commandments. And it says the earth shook. There was a great earthquake. There was also thunder and lightning and smoke billowing out of that mountain. And God said, anybody touches the mountain, even an animal will die. What was God doing? God, through that earthquake, was instilling fear into the people. Dread. Why? Because God was giving a revelation that he's holy, that he's pure, that he's all glorious. That we just can't rush into God's presence. God has pure eyes and to behold evil. God is absolutely holy and we're sinners. That we can't come before God. It's making it crystal clear that God is a God of holiness, and that's a revelation that we need today. That's a revelation that society needs. That's a revelation of God that people need today. Oh yes, he's a God of love. He's a God of grace. But listen, he's a God not to be trifled with. He's a God not to be mocked. He's a God that we'd better not be irreverent with. He's a holy, majestic God, sovereign. And so the first earthquake, major earthquake mentioned in the Bible is at Sinai. And God is giving a revelation, an exclamation mark, if you like. God is holy. Let's never forget the holiness of God. We live in a day when God is treated with disrespect, with disdain, with mockery. We're here this morning to acknowledge he's all glorious. He's sovereign. He's the God with whom we have to do. He's the God, as Hebrews says, before whom all things are open and naked. He's the Almighty God. The Almighty God. Ah, but let's turn to the New Testament, Matthew 27. We talked about that one, didn't we, earlier? We read about it, Matthew 27. And here we read in our text, in verse 50, Matthew 27, in verse 50, we read that when Jesus cried again with a loud voice, we know that he cried, it is finished. And then he yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. What's the next great exclamation mark? The mighty earthquake. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, the rocks were rent. Those seismologists and Bible expositors tell you that around Jerusalem you can still see the evidence of where there was earthquakes in the rocks. Whether dating from this or not, I don't know. But it says here the very rocks were rent at the very moment Christ died. By the way, when I read that, the very rocks rent when Christ died. Can you and I read the story of the death of Christ and not have our hard hearts broken? How hard our hearts must be if we can read the story of God the Son coming into this world and out of love suffering on Calvary such horrific pain, becoming sin for us, and yet our hearts remain hard. But what's the significance? What's God saying? Well, the earthquake speaks of power. It speaks of judgment. Christ on Calvary was taking the judgment for his people's sins. You say, well, who are his people? Well, his people are known by those who repent and trust him as Savior. He was taking sins of those that trust in him. And he was being judged at Calvary. Sins were being judged that day at Calvary. You see, it was foretold from even before the world was created. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. And there on that cross, he was becoming the sin bearer. That's what was happening. It's God's exclamation mark saying, look, look at Calvary. I'm judging sins in the person of my own son. Because he was sinless. And when did the earthquake take place? At the very moment that Christ died. Remember, he died as no one else ever died. He didn't die out of weakness, because he cried with a loud voice, finished. I had atoned for sin. Salvation's complete. And he didn't die out of weakness. His death, I remember some months ago at night talking about this, Jesus Christ's death was unique. He didn't die through the suffering on the cross. He chose the exact second of his death. And there's no human being can do that. The Bible says he sent his spirit away. He commanded his spirit to leave his body. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down and have power to take it again. There's no human being in this world has power to lay down their own life. Yes, they can commit suicide, take a gun or whatever. But it's the gun that kills them. Christ, by a voluntary act of his will, chose the moment of his death. He commanded the spirit to leave. Because part of the curse of sin was death. And he went into death first. And at the very moment he commanded the spirit to leave, in the temple, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. That veil that kept even the very priests, the holiest men, religiously in Israel, from going into where the ark, the mercy seat that represented the throne of God, had said, keep out. It was ripped from the top to the bottom, and that itself was a miracle. Because it took hundreds of men to put it up. What was God saying? At the very moment Christ died, he had paid the price of sin. Our sins were judged in him. And now he says, the way to God is opened. Yes, you're sinners. Yes, God is holy. Yes, you can't approach unto God. That's what Sinai teaches us. Ah, but listen, Christ has borne sin, and now come and welcome. You, Christ, has opened heaven, and we can come through Christ to a holy God because of him. That's why the earth shook at the very moment that he died. God's exclamation mark that sins were judged in Christ. Chapter 28 of Matthew, verse 2. Behold, there was a great earthquake. We've looked at the earthquake of Revelation. We've looked at the earthquake of our redemption. Now you have the earthquake of resurrection. My, when the Lord Jesus Christ came out of that tomb, when he was resurrected, it says the whole earth shook. Of course, the angel came and rolled away the stone, not to let the Lord's body out, but to let us in to see that he had risen. Lord Jesus Christ rose right up through that rock, and he rose bodily. He rose physically, literally. But at the very moment that he rose, the whole earth shook. That's what the Bible says. God's exclamation mark. God saying, amen. Look at this. What does it speak about? Power. Thank God there's power in the gospel. You see, death couldn't hold the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he paid the full price on Calvary. Paid the full price. If he hadn't paid for everyone of your sins, believer, he would have still been in the grave. But thank God the resurrection is the proof. It's the proof that our sins are dealt with in Christ. And he rose again the third day triumphantly. And the power of that earthquake is unbelievable power, was God's exclamation mark to the disciples and to us today. Something powerful happened that first Easter morning. The Lord Jesus Christ took his life again, took his body, rejoined his spirit with his body, and he rose triumphantly, never to die again. And what does it mean? When he rose again, what did he say to the disciples? All power is given unto me. He's Lord. The one that died in Calvary and rose again, he's not on the tree. He's not in a tomb. Listen, he's on the throne of the universe. He's Lord of lords. He's King of kings. All power is his. No wonder Paul the Apostle, after years of serving Christ, said, I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Where does judgment come in? Well, you know what Paul, preaching in Acts 17, said to the men at Athens? He said, God's appointed a day in which he will judge this world. And he's going to do it by that man, Jesus. And here's the proof. He raised him from the dead. Do you know, the resurrection of Christ in power is the certainty, is the assurance, the promise that one day every one of us is going to stand before the throne, and it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ upon that throne. The one who died on the cross. The one who walked this world without sin. The one who rose again. Every one of us will stand before him to be judged. The power of his resurrection. Very quickly in the rest, for time is going. When I turned to Acts 4:31, I'll not turn to it in the Bible for time, but you'll read about the disciples were gathered after they were threatened. And in Acts 4:31, they prayed that, God, you would give us boldness. You know what it says in Acts 4:31? The place was shaken. The place was shaken. That's revival. That's revival. Multitudes were added to the church. Thank God there's power in the Holy Spirit to send revival upon his church. Because when these men, when the place was shaken, that's, yes, a physical manifestation. But it's God's exclamation mark of his power, that there's revival power in the Holy Spirit. There's power in the preaching of the gospel. There's power in witnessing, telling people about the Lord. There's also judgment. But you know what happened immediately after? Ananias and Sapphira were judged for their lying to the Holy Ghost. Power and judgment. Acts 16:31, don't you know that verse? Acts 16. Well, actually, it's earlier in the chapters, verse 26. In Acts 16, verse 26, just very quickly, the prison, you remember? Paul and Silas are in the prison. What happens in verse 26? Suddenly there was a great earthquake. And there they are in the prison at Philippi. And there's a great earthquake. And what happened? The earthquake shook the building, but it didn't fall on top of them. It knocked all the doors off their hinges. And it knocked those shackles off their hands. And the jailer rushes out. He's going to kill himself. But he sees the prison doors open. And then there's an earthquake, figuratively, in the jailer. Because he begins to shake. And it finishes up, he cries out, what must I do? What must I do? Verse 30, to be saved. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I call that the earthquake of regeneration. This man became a new creature. This man, no doubt in those days a jailer, a hard man. But that night, God sent an earthquake, physical earthquake. But surely God is giving an exclamation mark, a behold, if you like, an amen, and saying to us, listen, the power that shakes the world, I have spiritual power to shake the hardest sinner. The hardest sinner who has no thought of eternity, and you say to yourself, well, there's somebody who'll never be interested in the gospel. Listen, it's nothing to God just to take his hand and begin to shake him. And that big man could be shaken to his very foundations until he cries out, what must I do to be saved? Oh, that God would do it. It's his work. It's his work to save. He was made a new creature, this man. I can just remember one night in the Coal Men's Mission years ago where Willie Mullen preaching, I've told you before, I'll never forget that scene, preaching on the great white throne judgment. And a man who had been brought and prayed for the night before started to climb over the seats and push them away. Somebody take me to Jesus quickly. I'm not ready to meet him. I'm not ready to die. What was happening? God was shaking him. God was shaking him. Well, I'm coming almost to the end. There's
over in Revelation. For time, I'll just quote these to you. Revelation 6:12, it says there was a great earthquake. Revelation 8:5, angel took the censer, poured it out. There was thundering, lightning, a great earthquake. Revelation 11:13, there was a great earthquake. Revelation 16:18, there was a great earthquake such as what not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. But turn to Hebrews 12, just in closing. Hebrews 12. We've thought about the earthquake of revelation, the earthquake of redemption, the earthquake of resurrection, the earthquake of revival and regeneration. This last one's the earthquake of the return of the Lord. We told you there in Revelation there's going to be an earthquake come that this world has never seen. Never seen it. But it's amazing in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, verse 25, if you have your Bible open, just let's take a few moments before we finish the meeting. And Paul is speaking back to the time of Moses. You remember the great earthquake at Sinai? And he says in verse 25, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." In other words, we had better listen to the invitation of the gospel. We need to repent. "For they have escaped not who refused him that spake on earth. Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth." That's thinking of Sinai. "But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." And he speaks about the kingdom. Speaks about godly fear. What's it saying here? God is saying through Paul, do you remember back in Sinai, you've heard the story from your forefathers. God spoke. And people that rejected Moses died. But listen, God has spoken in the gospel. And he's calling men and women. And he's saying, look, there's going to be a great earthquake come. And it's going to shake this earth as it's never been shaken before. That's the whole point. You see, everything shakes. I remember on the river traveling down from where we lived about 8 hours in a little small boat going, bringing some supplies. You were 8 hours just sitting in the back of a small boat on the large, large river. And yes, you can tell you're in an earthquake even in a boat. Because all of a sudden, those waves started in the river. And I looked over and the trees were literally shaking. Large, large trees. Some fell. Of course, the river's so wide, there wasn't any danger. I'm talking about tall trees. Some were falling. They were shaking like corn in the breeze. And now, for a moment or two, the river's so wide, I didn't know which way I was going. You feel even sick. Just the waves started to come. Ripples in the river. Everything. There was nothing stable in an earthquake. I remember down in another missionary family, the Shrogs. My wife wasn't with me. I was down there staying. He and his wife and some of the family. And an earthquake started early in the morning. We got up out of bed. Because it woke you up. You just get up. Walked out with the family. Out to the grass outside. Some of the people in their houses were chanting and sort of screaming. They were afraid. And we stood there for a while. You kind of brace yourself. You know, and the ground's shaking and the house is shaking. But you look up at the stars and they're stable. But it says here in Hebrews, one day God's not just going to shake this earth. He's going to shake the sky. The sun. The moon. This world's going to end. He's saying one day there's nothing that's going to be stable. Nothing. Except that which is spiritual, the kingdom of God. Why, when you're in an earthquake, there's nothing stable. It says one day there's going to be a great earthquake in this world. Where will you stand on that day? Thank God this morning as many of us can say we're standing on the rock of ages and he'll never tremble. He'll never tremble. We're safe on him. We're safe.
We're standing on the promises of God. We're not afraid today. Even when all gives way, Christ is then my hope and stay. We need to be ready for that great earthquake. Great earthquake's coming someday. We'll all stand before God. But though the earth be removed, God is our refuge. And Paul wrote this to appeal to men and women. Flee to Christ. Make sure you're trusting Him. Make sure your hope's in Christ. Let's turn to the...